Like to welcome everyone to Center Friends. Hope everyone's having a good day. If you could stand up and turn the page, hymn number 349. Being here today, and just pray that you settle our hearts and minds to worship you and to hear the message in your heavenly name. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everyone had a great week. Welcome to Center Friends. It looks like a wonderful crowd. Now we're lopsided on this side. It just rotates, I guess. But it's good to see everybody here this morning. It's a beautiful day. We've had a great week, a great weekend. So I hope everyone will enjoy the service today and be moved by the Spirit this morning. Are there any announcements we need to cover this morning?
Yes, Tommy. Kay had to go home sick, so she asked if I would stand up and let you know again that the Valentine's Steak Supper is just a few short Saturdays away. It's on the 15th of February. Steak and chicken will be served. That is at $15 per person. Or you can get two for $30. Or you can get four for, wait a minute, I got to take the shoes and socks off. But you can figure it out. Hamburgers for kids, $5. We also need help. Tickets are being sold this morning. Wes and Jeanette are going to be back there in the library. They're looking for you to stop in. And again, if you'd like to sign up to help with that endeavor, we would most welcome your assistance.
Any other announcements?
30. Anyone who wants to come?
Yeah, this is not an exclusive club. That is for all the men and young men of the meeting. By all means, please come enjoy a dinner and a message. And then we determine business for the projects upcoming. It could be in Church Under the Bridge or any other projects that we have that Quaker men want to take on. We discuss those things as well. So it's a great ministry, a great fellowship. Any other announcements? None? All right, if not, will our ushers come forward, please? Let's go to the Lord in prayer over our blessings. Father God, we thank you for today. We praise your name. We praise your presence. We just are so thankful that you're here with us today. We're two or more gathered. You are with us, and we ask you to fill this place, touch our hearts and our lives as we worship you, as we gather together to fill the Spirit, to move us in the direction that you would have us move. As we make our offerings to you, Lord, we lift them to you. We place them on your altar so that you can give us direction and guidance. leadings and pricking of the hearts to best use those resources for the furthering of your kingdom. And we see beyond ourselves. We see those that are in front of us that we may pass each and every day, Lord. Again, we thank you for the blessings, and we ask that you bless those that will be receiving the offerings we make today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
So today we are going to talk about what you guys are good at. So I want you guys to tell me, what is one thing that you think that you are so good at? Okay, that's awesome. Anybody else? What do you got? Gymnastics? Yeah?
You want? Playing with the dogs.
Playing with the dogs? What are you good at?
Finding clues.
Anybody else? What are you guys good at? What are your favorite things to do? Going to the beach? Yeah. So everybody had something different, right? Everybody's answers were different. So we are all, have you guys ever heard of being the hands and feet of Jesus? You know what that means? What does that mean? Yeah, we're all different and we have something great to offer. We have we're all good at different things. We all like different things, and that's special. That's what makes us all special. And Jesus, he can use that. So because using your gymnastics, so maybe you can connect with people that are you also that also like gymnastics too. So I want you guys to always remember that too, that just because you don't like the same things or maybe you're a little bit different than the people in your classroom, that those are things that make us special and that Jesus can use those to further his kingdom. Okay? All right, so let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all here today. I pray that we all just remember how special we are to you and all the things that make us different. God, I pray that you use those gifts and talents to further your kingdom, God. And I pray that we always remember that you love us. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
That was the hands and feet of Jesus right there. That was that's a God moment. So I think we can actually all raise our hands when I ask the question. Who has seen God this week?
Amen.
There we go. So before I ask for your God moments, before I stand up for my sermon, I'm going to talk a little bit about Church Under the Bridge and open up an opportunity for those who attended to share. So if you want to wait till then about Church Under the Bridge from last night, there's a very powerful message in our ministry last night that we had. And so I would offer that opportunity before the sermon if you wanted to share, and we will let the Spirit move from there. And if I speak, great. If I don't and people want to share, then we will let it roll. So are there any God moments anybody wants to share? Any praises? Nobody's feeling better from all the flu and sickness?
Today's my mom's birthday.
Yes, it is. It's Faith Shore's birthday, and she is 29 years old. And she's going to Red Lobster tonight, isn't she? By her decree. It's good to see Forrest back. Forrest has been battling, we don't right know, but he's dizzy in the head. And some people may say that's been lifelong. But the last time I saw Forrest, he was holding on to the side of a stretcher, begging for it to stop spinning. So it's good to see him upright and moving. So we're glad to have you back. And we do need to continue to remember those who are battling illnesses. As Don said, Kay left early. She had a recurring sinus infection. She thought it was gone, and it has now come back with a vengeance. So we don't want to keep Kay Coltrane down, so we need to pray that she gets up and running again. Also, Malia asked me to ask for those prayers for her grandmother, Brenda, who is battling chronic illnesses. So when a young person comes and says they have a prayer request, I think that is vitally important that they recognize the power of prayer. So we need to remember Brenda, her grandmother. dealing with some breathing and chronic illnesses there. Also, I went and saw Mary Ruth Cox last night. She called me and let me know she was in the ER. She was there with an infection. When I got there, her blood pressure was way up, her heart rate was kind of down, and she just wasn't feeling very good, and her temperature was up. And Tim and Grace were there, and when I got in the room and started talking to them, not that I'm bragging, but her blood pressure came down, her heart rate went up, and her temperature came down. So I'll be making house calls for a copay of $25. But she sat right up and talked. We talked for a straight hour, and we had a great time together, even if it was in the hospital. But she is now having a heart procedure. She called me this morning. She'll be having a heart procedure tomorrow morning at some point. She's not concerned about it, and in her words, if the Lord takes me, I'm ready to go, and if he don't, well, I'm here anyway. So she's had this before, so she's not concerned about it. There's a valve or something that's not functioning, so they can go in and do a little procedure to get that up and running for her. So remember Mary Ruth Cox in your prayers as well. Are there any others we need to update or add?
My sister-in-law fell on Christmas Eve. She got a good report this week that the swelling is going down in her joint and the bones are setting, so she's better.
So maybe no surgery?
There's still, it's wait and see, but okay. It's better.
That's
so they did say that they got a good report.
And she tripped and fell over children, right?
Over children. Yes.
And I hurt her shoulder that was already being...
It had just been operated on about a year before.
Well, hopefully that everything will set right and she won't have to go back under surgery again.
Yep.
Any others? Malia's on AB Honor Roll. That is a praise. So when you see her, love on her and congratulate her.
But so the ceremony is on Friday, which is when Amber has surgery to have tubes put in her ears. So pray that I can be split in two.
Well, if anybody can, it's you.
Yes. And then Mama's back.
And that's right, Barb is back. And we've been praying for Barb. She had some back issues and some infection, and we're thankful that she can be back worshiping with us. It's a blessing to see her. Any others?
I have two of my children with me today.
Yes, you do. Betty brought two of her favorites. And Betty came to party with us last night, and it was good to have her with us last night at Church Under the Bridge, and we had a great time, and I asked them, the two, if they could keep up with her, so they're trying their best to stay ahead of Betty. Any others?
That's a great group of people that we had last night, putting the food together.
It was.
Such wonderful people. I've never seen such a well-oiled machine. I mentioned they made 300 grilled cheese sandwiches. I can't even make one at the house in a pan without them. They were flipping them sandwiches out like nothing. It was amazing. And this morning I woke up to my devotional, which was Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them, which is what you just said in your prayer group.
That's right.
Amazing. Great group of people. Very blessed.
Anyone else? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything. The smiles and the laughter that have been had this morning, this is all in praise of you. This is all in worship of you. We raise our hearts and our hands to you, and we just thank you that we can laugh and we can share and we can just be in each other's joy of healing, of gathering together and serving, of celebrating moments in our young people's lives. And it's all because you allow us to. You give us that leading and that life and that breath in our bodies. Lord, we thank you that we are different. As Jamie said, we are different, but that we celebrate our differences, that we don't focus on the opposites of things, but that we focus on the similarities in each other while rejoicing in our differences. Lord, and we come to you again with different needs and different celebrations and different praises and different wants. You know, you've heard the healing that's been going on, and you know the sicknesses that we've talked about, Lord. From the basic cold to the surgeries and heart procedures, we ask that you just place your hand on each person, not just the person suffering from the illness, but the persons that come in contact with them, that their light can be brightened by those who they may be treating. There are soldiers of yours in our hospitals. Give them orders to help and heal. Give them direction. Give them courage to share your message with their doctors, with their nurses, that those who challenge science can be blessed by faith. I thank you for this group of people personally, Lord. I just am just feeling the warmth of their hearts and their lights here today, and that the Spirit is with us. And I thank you that you have touched this place in such a way that we see needs and we see issues that we can address. Continue to bless us. Continue to heal us. Continue to open our eyes to whatever quiet moments there may be, any issues that we need to see and can help through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things and all these blessings and all these praises in his holy name. Amen.
I'm
So before I get into my sermon this morning, last night we had Church Under the Bridge, and this will be our second time doing it as a church. And what Church Under the Bridge is, it's been meeting for the last 8 years, I believe, is what Mike said last night. And what it is, get myself organized here. It's a group of people that came together, 16 Cent Ministry, and they feed those that are less fortunate, those are homeless, those that need a meal every Saturday night, and they bring a church under the bridge. They have a meal, they have a message, and they have music. And last night was a true blessing. The first time we did it was in a parking lot because there was some construction for the bridge, and they were getting some stuff ready for it, but now they've moved back under the bridge in Greensboro. And so Center came together and made a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches and a lot of soup and bagged a lot of cookies and rolled a lot of silver or plasticware and got together some goldfish and some water. And we went and set up. I brought a message. And then there were about, I'd say, 250-ish last night, folks that lined up on both sides and just came through receiving a meal. And so you hear me every Sunday, and you may hear like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 when you hear the preacher, the same voice every time. So I was talking to Whitney, and she was kind of sharing her experiences. I was walking around talking to folks because that's just how I am, and there were, our young people were serving, our older folks were serving, and it was just a conglomeration of a team effort. Serving, and Whitney was telling me some stories, and I asked her if she would share. I asked her slash guilted her into speaking. I guess that's one of the cons of living with a preacher. But I asked her if she would share maybe a moment if she felt led. And if you went last night, and after Whitney finishes, if you feel led to share, I will pause and let you share, and we will just let the Spirit roll however it wants to roll in here today. All right? Everybody good with that? A little different, but it'll be all right.
So Tommy and I were talking after we got home last night, and I didn't instantly regret sharing my stories with him, but when he said, "Could you share that at church tomorrow?" I said, okay. But I will just share one story that if you've ever paid attention to me or listened to Tommy and his sermons, because he's brought this up a couple of times, but I love goldfish. I love goldfish. I love cheddar bunnies. Anything that is some kind of cheese cracker, I'm here for it. So last night, we served people that ranged in ages from very young, like maybe two, or all the way up to people who were in their maybe 70s or 80s, and maybe older than that. I was just at one end of the table. And this little girl walked up, and she was maybe seven, six, I don't know, but she was young. She was super cute. She had a purple little jacket on, and she said, I had her plate in my hand. I noticed that she didn't have any soup. So people got soup, a grilled cheese, goldfish, and cookies and water. And if they wanted something different or they didn't want that, then that was fine. They could tell us. We don't make the food ahead of time. It's an opportunity for you to interact with the people there and ask them, like, what would you like to eat? And so I said, oh, I said, you have a grilled cheese sandwich. And she just lit up. And she was like, yes. She said, I love grilled cheese sandwiches. And I said, I do too. They're my favorite. And so the next item to give her was a bag of goldfish. And I said, would you like some goldfish? And she just lit up all over again, and she said, I love goldfish. And I said, me too. And she said, yes, I would like some goldfish. So I handed her the goldfish, and since she didn't have soup, I don't really know if I was supposed to be doing this, but it didn't matter. I felt led right then. I said, would you like another bag of goldfish? And she said, I can have two? And I said, yes, you can. So I handed her another bag of goldfish, and I just, it's easy for me to go to the store and buy goldfish and not think about it. And if I'm at home and I need a snack, I just get up and go to my pantry and get my big bag of goldfish out. And if I want to sit there and eat the whole bag, then that's what I do. But this little girl loved goldfish, and she wanted her little bag of goldfish. So I think that was really moving for me, obviously. And that I just bonded with her for a minute over a little bag of goldfish. And it's just little things that you just go out and share with people. And it was a little thing, but it was a big thing for me. So I would invite you, if you have been thinking about it and you're not sure, just come out and do it the next time that we do it, because you will be blessed by them. You think that you're giving them something, but that little girl gave so much to be thankful for. And so she was the blessing to me last night.
Amen. Anyone else? You don't have to come up here and share. You can stand in your seat, stay in your seat. Would anyone else like to share?
Wonders, I'm telling you.
This right here is a miracle, because standing in front of you guys talking is not easy for me. I'm a little too close. Okay. Whew. I wrote some notes. I can't just share one moment. It's just, there were too many. Okay. First of all, my mother has always said to me, and we've had conversations around the dinner table about where Center is going and what we can do for others. And she always says this thing, you know, back when I was young, my church, if somebody was in need, you know, we passed the hat. Or if somebody house burned down or the roof got blown off their barn, we just got a group together and we went and did it. And Church Under the Bridge is kind of that. Our community is different than it used to be. It's not small little communities. I mean, look at our youth. They are connecting with kids in Bolivia. They're finding out what their lives are. I'm shaking. They're finding out what their lives are like and what they can do to help in a really global way. And so I feel like I want to say to y'all, look beyond these four walls, because amazing things can happen if we just look beyond this small little spot on this hill. This can be the place where we catapult our faith and our love for Jesus, and can do some really great things. Last night, we got there, we all piled out of the church van, we had handfuls of jackets and toboggans and gloves to put on the fence. They have a fence down there where people in need can just take what they need. And first of all, you guys rock. There was so much stuff. We had the back of the van full and the whole first row. But the thing that got me was I was digging out of these bags and just trying to hang it up as fast as I could. And people were right there taking what they needed right then and there. And I don't know who in this congregation had a pair of brown leather woman's gloves that you cared enough to put in a Ziploc bag and label women's gloves. But I found it at the bottom of one of the bags that I had, and I had stuck it up in the fence and proceeded to finish and walk down, and this woman came up to me and she said, "Do you have any gloves?" And I was like, "Oh, hold on, I got gloves." So I like ran, because I was afraid somebody was going to take them. Ran back over to where I was and I grabbed the gloves and I said, "Here." And I said, "See if these work." And she put them on and she said, "They're perfect. They're so warm. Thank you so much." And I thought, well, shoot, that was easy. Y'all, this is so easy. We got together yesterday, collected some clothes, spent a couple hours in the kitchen with more than we had the first time we did this, and we got everything done in less time. We had an hour and a half to shoot the bull and have a conversation with our friends and get excited about what we were getting ready to go do. So if we can feed 250 people in a couple hours, y'all, our potential is endless. And the other thing I want to say is, we are so lucky because we have young people in this meeting who are feet on the ground, ready to do. And we need to harness that, because my other moment that really got me last night, the first time we went, I was really nervous because I didn't know what to expect, and I was scared for Elizabeth because she's a young girl and I don't know these people. Last night, I didn't feel that at all. I was not nervous. If you're apprehensive about coming, like, it is a blessing. And I didn't worry about her. But at some point in time, we had hung everything up on the fence and we're getting ready to start feeding. And I heard somebody say, "Where's Natalie?" And I went, "Oh, well, we probably need to look for Natalie." Need to look for Natalie and Katie and Elizabeth. And I turned around, and I have a picture of it. I kind of snuck a little picture. But I turned around, and those three girls literally were surrounded by a group of homeless people. And they were down by the fence. And these people were saying things like, "Do you have a toboggan? Do you have gloves? I need a coat in this size." And those girls were in the thick of it. They were amazing. My daughter is my inspiration. And I'm so proud of her. And I'm so proud of Katie and Lemuel and Joseph and Jake and Will and all the kids who came out last night, because they are our future and they are doing wonderful, amazing things, and I'm so proud of them. And Elizabeth and I talked when we got home about it. We talked this morning about it. Neither one of us slept good last night, and I think it's just because the gravity of, there are people who really need. And I'm not a wealthy woman. I am not always in a position to do, but what we did yesterday, I could do every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And I encourage you guys to come out and check out Church on the Bridge. And if it's not Church Under the Bridge, find something that gives you meaning and makes a difference for other people, because it will change your life. Yesterday changed my life. Doing it in October changed my life, and I can't wait to do it again. And I thank each and every one of you for your support so that we could make that happen. And I want y'all to really think about how Center can make a difference beyond this hill. So that's what I wanted to say.
Anyone else? Take too long.
So, I'm going to say something, but I'm going to preface it with a little story that happened a number of years ago when we were building the East Wing. Because it leads directly into what we did this weekend. Bill Lawrence called me one Saturday, and I know folks who have been here a while remember Bill. He called me one Saturday and he was over at the sand pit. He said, "Keith, come over here and I want to talk to you a few minutes." So I told him off. I said, "Bill wants to talk to me." I said, putting on a pair of sweatpants and a sweatshirt, I said, "We're going to go talk." So I got over there and he met me, and he drove to the side of the sand pit where he could see what was going on. And he said, "You know," he said, "I know you're concerned with how we're going to pay for this East Wing." Because at that time we had money coming in, but we didn't have a tremendous amount of money. So Bill said, "Don't worry about how we're going to pay for it." He said, "The people at Center told you to build the building." He said, "You build the building," he said, "and they'll figure out how to pay for it." I said, "Okay." So I went home. I said, "What y'all talking about?" I said, "Bill told me to build the East Wing, in the committee, not me, but the committee to build the East Wing, and the people at Center figure out how to pay for it." So I bring you to that and start talking about our God moment. Mine started last Sunday when I asked for the meeting of Quaker men and anyone else interested to come down front that was interested in serving at Church Under the Bridge. probably 25 or 30 people there. I thought, wow. So I get there yesterday, late, and the kitchen is full of it. They're fixing soup, they're opening beans, they're folding napkins, they're getting ready to stuff cookies, they're doing all the stuff to get ready to go serve the meal last night. So after all this was done, and we were getting by ready to set up, we had prayer. And I said, you know, I said, the thing for us is we have a need here in the community that God has laid on the heart of sin. I said, it matters not how the people got to where they are, but they're there now, and our mission is to serve them. We had prayer, we left, we did that. Everybody kind of did their own thing. And I went through the crowd last night, shaking hands, as I feel with y'all, shaking hands, kissing babies, and talking to people, and they were just excited that we were there, that we were providing one meal for them during the week. And it was just super. And you talk about church under the bridge, and you think of it here at Center the way several years ago we renovated the meeting room. Well, the city of Greensboro renovated their meeting room when they fixed the bridge. They fixed the bridge and they painted it and they done all the stuff that you do to maintain a structure, an infrastructure inside the city. But it was like being at a whole new church for me. So I can't say enough about the people who came, who prayed for us, who prepared, who served. The young people, they are an awesome group of young people. The need was there, they spoke to the need, and it was a tremendous night.
I have to share before I talk about 10 or 12 years ago when I went to New York City with a group from Yearly Meeting, and we were tasked with learning about homelessness, how to feed them, that kind of thing. And when we came back, some of you may remember that I spoke one Sunday. And I shared that one of the hardest things for me is to look homeless people in the eye. It's really easy for me to write a check to an organization. It's really easy for me to just hand you something and not maybe really look at you. It's kind of like when you walk up to someone, you say, well, how are you? You don't even really listen to what they say back to you. It's just kind of becomes habit. And I said then, standing right there, that one of the things that I was praying about and working on was being able to look at people and to face them and look them in the eye and to really care about them. And I have prayed about that, and I think I'm a little bit better. But last night, before we started, the coordinator, director, prayed with us before we started to serve. And his prayer has just stuck with me. It stuck with me all night, as Melissa said. It just went, every time I woke up, I was still thinking about it. He prayed that the people would see Jesus in us. But then he said, and I pray that the volunteers will see Jesus in the people they're serving. And I saw Jesus in those people, and I made an effort. Jake is a great dipper of soup. And we worked together. I held the bowl, and he took it and served it. But we had to say to them, do you want soup? How are you? Just whatever we said. Some of them spoke back. Some of them just nodded. Most of them were very gracious and thankful. But it forced me to look them in the eye and to ask them how they were and to make not only eye contact, but to say something back to them. And that was really moving to me. And I would just urge you to pray if you have apprehension. I had apprehension. This is the second time I went. It was much better last night, and I think last night was more life-changing for me than the first time. So I would just encourage you to continue to pray for me, to pray for all of us. And if it's not your thing to go and serve, then come and help prepare the food. Find a way that you can participate in this ministry because you will definitely be blessed.
This thing sort of got started a couple of years ago. We had a guest speaker, Stan Smith, I think, arranged for it. One of Stan Smith's friends, a printer by profession, I think it's Mike, who came with another coordinator here to a Quaker Men's dinner meeting and talked about it. And it stuck with me how that ministry ever got off the ground. What the Under the Bridge ministry was does not look at all like what it was supposed to be originally. This group of concerned Christians in the community here got together and decided that they wanted to do a contemporary service, and I think it's shared in part. They planned for over a year to do this at 8 o'clock in the morning. A core group, 15, 20 people got together. They planned for over a year. They put everything together at 8 o'clock on this anointed Sunday. They got together and they had 20 people in the pews. They planned for 200. They said, well, it's only the first Sunday. Maybe, perhaps, it'll be better the next Sunday. The next Sunday came, they had 10. This was not working at all. So on Sunday afternoon, they decided, you know what, we need to get together and have a dinner meeting and just kind of come to grips with this and see if we need to throw this thing down the tubes or if we need to figure out what we're going to do. So they all glumly got together at this place for dinner. They ate. They weren't really into it. They had all this leftover food after their dinner, and they said, what are we going to do with all this food? And they said, why don't we give it to the homeless? And there from that sprung the ministry of Under the Bridge. This past yesterday, at 1 o'clock, the doors flung open here, and there were at one time almost 30 people coming and going and doing what they could. But it was even bigger than that. We had someone donate roasts that had already been cooked that were there waiting for us. Someone from not even from this church donated two cookers and 20 pounds of barbecue that we're going to use later. We have everybody that came yesterday was integral in part of doing something. We had from age 6 to age in their 80s working and working hard. And then I did not go last evening, but I understand you had 15, 20 people to go last evening to serve. There's something for all of us to do. From some little spark sometimes springs a great ministry, and this truly is one of the good ministries. Under the Bridge is not free for us. Food has to be purchased, and it's not part of our budget, and that's been discussed about making it a part of our budget. We've decided it's better to raise money as we go because of your generosity. Quaker Men, USFW, your contributions make this all possible. The Valentine's Steak Supper, there's already been a commitment that proceeds from that particular function. Part of those proceeds will go to Under the Bridge Ministry. So even if your participation in the Valentine's Steak Supper 3 weeks from now will be a part of a ministry. It's a good time for the community to get together, for you to see people that you haven't seen in a while. But more importantly, it's a way to fund a very important ministry here. Janice Robinette had an idea before Christmas, if you'll remember. Another way to feed people is let's put some foodstuffs together and see what we can get. You got two pickup truckloads out of it, full to the brim. If you have an idea about a ministry, if you have a thought, you know, let Tommy know. Let someone know here about your thought. I've got an idea now about tiny houses built on site that we can then disassemble and take over to a place in High Point that needs them. But if we can continue to maybe look inward and then look outward, Under the Bridge is just the start.
Anyone else?
Back, and it struck me so much that I copied and pasted it into my notes. And, you know, this church constantly amazes me, each and every one of you, whether it's behind the scenes or there. I mean, everybody just works together in such a beautiful way. And this makes me think of us and hearing your stories from last night. This is a part from a Max Lucado devotional, and it says, "But this much is clear. God has given this generation, our generation, everything we need to alter the course of human suffering. Let's live in such a way that the world will be glad we did." And I feel like we've done a piece of that.
So last night, for me, I can't sit still. So serving food is just absolutely impossible for me to do because I have to stand in one place. But I go and I walk and talk. And I'm not afraid to walk up to someone and say, "How are you? Where are you from?" And I simply ask, "What's your story?" And I tell them, "God bless you." And it's not easy for folks to do that. And something simple, and I'll speak on behalf of my dad who's at home. I think he's now battling the flu. He got sick this morning. But he is at his coffee club that he goes, and they decide all the business of the world, and they solve all the world's problems with a bunch of old men drinking coffee. And they're always right all the time. So he was approached by somebody who gave them a bunch of stamped out metal crosses. And he said, "Here, just give these out, just whatever." And so Dad's been kind of giving them out to folks that come to the store. Well, he brought a bag of them last night. He wanted to come and just kind of see what it was about. He didn't jump in and serve. He just kind of stood back and watched. And he said, "Oh, I got these crosses." And I said, "Okay, well, check with my cousin's one of the organizers. I'll check with her and see what they want to do with them." And he said, "Hey, would you give these out to Sherry?" He said, "Would you give these out, you know, or do whatever you want to?" And she said, "Why don't you give them out?" He said, "Oh, no, no." She said, "No, you give them out." And he walked down the line and shook hands and passed out crosses and told people he hoped they enjoyed their meal. And that's all the simple ministry he had. And he thoroughly enjoyed it. He loved it. We talked about it last night after we were done. And then my other story is watching the clothing, the fence. Okay, so we get there, the fence is empty. The posse rolls out of the van, and that's what it was. It was a straight-up posse. I mean, it's like all of a sudden someone blew a horn and all these people come out. Clowns in a Volkswagen, if you will. And they brought all these clothes. And clothes, I mean, there were sleeves and scarves and things being flung, and they were hung on the fence. And the girls were involved in that. And Lindsay's like, "I'm just going to stay around and make sure they're good." And so they were up there busy, and Shannon was up there. And I've got a picture of Shannon slinging clothes up there. And the fence was full. I mean, chocked full of clothes. And when I was the last car to leave last night, and it was empty again. An hour. The fence was full, and in an hour, the fence was empty. And so there's a need, and it truly is a blessing. And I come back here, and I was talking to Martha Jo, and she said, "I've been thinking about this thing I want to put in the bulletin. My sermon can wait till next Sunday." But the sermon is in the message in your bulletin. It's on the right-hand side. She said, "I've been thinking about this, and I've just been holding on to it. And what do you think about putting it into a bulletin?" I said, "Go ahead. I want you to cut that out. I want you to tear that page off when you get home. I don't want to see any bulletins thrown away this morning. I want that to be put on your refrigerator, put in your wallet, put in your car dash. Because it says, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, check, to heal the broken, check, to feed the hungry, double check, to bring peace among brothers." That's the message. And I lead that into open worship. Speak as the Lord leads you.
addiction, this will come up.
What a day. We're going to change the hymn. If you would, stand and sing hymn number 454, Trust and Obey, verses 1 and 4. 454.
Thank you.